is one after Jesus had been crucified. And the disciples said, it's over. He's dead. It's gone. And there were two persons who were leaving Jerusalem, and they were walking along the road toward Emmaus. And this encounter happened. I want us to read the scripture together. Could we read? Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all these people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to give to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And may God bless the reading of this scripture this morning to teach us what we need to know this day as we live before him. Well, I've been saying all morning, today is World Communion Sunday. All over the world, Christians of various nationalities and traditions are focusing on the Lord's Supper as a central distinctive of our faith. And I like that. I like that for many reasons, but the Lord's Supper makes us unique. The Lord's Supper makes us a peculiar community of believers. And one of the things that I so appreciate about being Church of the Brethren is that our church calls us to a different way of living, a way that rises above hatred and division, a way of peace and unity, a way of grace and love that reflects the very love of Jesus Christ himself. The Church of the Brethren calls us to be one body of believers with all the believers all over the world as followers of Jesus Christ in the world. And so the essence of what we celebrate today in communion, on this World Communion Sunday, is the fact that we are many. Though we are diverse, though we live in different countries, though we speak different languages, and maybe we pray in very different ways, nevertheless, we are all one family, one body, one in Christ Jesus. And yet we have differently, and we have difficulty, and we have struggles in trying to comprehending that we're all one, don't we? Do we have trouble realizing that people in the world, all over the world, in different colors, different countries, different nationalities, that we are one? Especially you would find that true in light of the violence in Charlottesville and Ferguson, Missouri, and in the Middle East, and with the tension with Korea, and even on our streets, the shootings in our very own town. We see all these things, and we have trouble understanding that we are one. It's hard to wrap our heads around a God-sized vision of a world where all humanity is one people, where we're all peaceful, and we're all united. Vonda and I have been watching a series of broadcasts on PBS TV the past 2 weeks, directed by Ken Burns, entitled Vietnam. And the way Ken Burns tells the story, his storytelling is so powerful through the film about the war, about the national power struggles, about the cruelty, about the bravery, about the lies, about the love, about the hate, the death, the confusion. But the most important part of the film, in my opinion, is the fact that we all, whether we're Americans or Vietnamese or Europeans or Chinese or Russians or whatever nationality, we all are similar as human beings with desires and needs to be free and safe and loved and secure and have food and shelter and work and to be happy and to have a purposeful, have hope for a future that has purpose. Each people in that film, as I watch it, no matter which side they're on, no matter what the conflict is, no matter what the issues are, they're all looking for the same things of goodness. But when you are looking in the wrong place, you often don't find what you're looking for. You ever had that happen? You're looking for something, but you can't find it because it's in the wrong place. Let me give you an example of looking in the wrong place. I want to tell you a story about car keys. Last week, when I came down to the church before coming to the backpacking event that we were having over in Manita, I was looking for a piece of mail I thought may have fallen out of my brief bag while I was here the Sunday before. So I walk up to the church door, and I reach in my briefcase for my church key, but it's not there. And I become frustrated, and I look, and I look, and I look, and I finally take all the papers out and all the content, and I turn it upside down, and I dump it all out, and I'm looking for it, but I can't find it. And I feel like sitting down and pouting. But I'm a grown man, and if somebody were to come by and see me doing that, what would they think? So I decide not to do that. Instead, I pray. I say, "Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? How am I going to check this out now? It's a long distance to drive back down here later." Then suddenly I remembered a zipper pocket in the front of my briefcase. And so I open it up, and sure enough, there it is, the key. When you are looking for things you don't find, you might be saying, "Well, it may not be there. It's not there." But that might not be true, because the items may be there, but we might be looking for them in the wrong places. Now, let me give you another example of looking in the wrong places, a story about fishing. I don't know if any of you fish. I know I've talked to some of our folks here, and they are. And even I know Doug is away today because he's with a fishing tournament outside of town here. But if you are a good fisherman, chances are that you are a charter. And that is, many good fishermen chart the fishing habits. Each day when they go out fishing, they chart the water temperature and the weather condition and the depth that you should be fishing and the bait that the fish are biting. And so, for example, I could go out fishing all day and not catch any fish. And I'm not an experienced fisherman, and so I would probably conclude that there are no fish here. But if I go out with an experienced fisherman like Doug Howdyshell, one who charts the habits of the lake and Sure enough, we go out, we catch all kind of fish. And I would conclude, when I'm fishing by myself, there are no fish here. But the problem is that I'm looking in the wrong place. If you're looking in the wrong place, you will never find what you're looking for. So what does this have to do with World Communion Sunday? Well, God's intent for humanity is that we all be one people. That people of all ages and races and genders and nationalities are called to come together with a distinct expression of faith. One message, one God, one flock, one shepherd, one hope, one people, to be the children of God. But if we're looking in the wrong place for oneness, you will not find what you're looking for. I think at the core, we as people of God, we suffer from a problem that our God is too small and too narrow. Without even thinking about it, and without even intention, with no bad intentions, in our lives, we think that God is He, that God is white, that God is brethren, or at least Protestant, that God is American, and the list can go on and on. And so we forget that God is creator of all. God is God of all. God is God of the bush Christians of Ethiopia. He is the God of the Catholics in Rome, the Baptists down the street, men and women and children around the world, even Muslims and Jews. The God we love, God who is the Father of Jesus Christ, is the God of all people, all ages, all nations, all genders. And on this day, we celebrate God with a big vision, a bigger vision than often that we maintain. We are reminded of our union with Christians around the world, and we anticipate that day when all of humanity is united as one people of God, even as Christians are to be united now. You see, Jesus' example of broken body and shed blood more than anything else, the symbols of the bread and the wine that we share in communion, is a symbol of our unity as the family of Christ. And participation in this Lord's Supper, or the bread and cup, is the fundamental defining act of the believing community. Like no other activity, this shared meal clearly embodies each believer's relation to Christ and to one another with pristine clarity. If you want to know what your relationship is with God, you're going to find that when you take communion. Because there is one loaf, and because all believers share that one loaf, they, though many, are one body. This meal is the definitive action that stands at the heart of the life of faith. The Lord's Supper is the means of grace, a special way by which we experience God's grace in our lives. You may come in here feeling far away from God. You may come in here feeling guilty about something that's gone in your life. You might come here feeling like you even have doubts that there is a God. And it is by God's grace, which is so amazing, which is so powerful, is that it's God's grace that is able to draw us to Himself, no matter where we come from and what we've done and what's going on in our life. It is God's power and His grace that forgives us and restores us and begins again the process of making us new, making us what God wants us to be, making us what we want to be before God. Today, Christians around the world are partaking in the sacraments of Holy Communion. Some might use crackers. Some others might use wine. Some might kneel to receive the bread and the juice. Some may drink the juice from a common cup and pass that cup around. while others drink from tiny individual cups, similar to what we're going to do this morning. The bread may be dipped in the juice and then eaten. There may be singing, and there may be special prayer. It may be called a sacrament, or it's called a memorial meal, or Eucharist, or the love feast. The people coming to the table this morning all around the world may be saint or sinners. They may be white or brown or black. They may be Republican or Democrat. They may be young or old. They may be male or female. But they are all one in Christ Jesus. You see, our sharing of the common loaf in this common meal signifies our unity in Christ above all else. Nothing else that we do as Christians, nothing else that we say or do, will do it the way it does when we come before the table. That is what World Communion Sunday is all about. We're different from different places, but we're all one in Christ. We all know how easy it is in our modern society to divide. We know how easy it is to hate and to bully and to treat others unkindly, to separate ourselves and point out people as the other, and we are the in and they are the out. But our time at the Lord's table calls us to a different way of living. It's what the Church of the Brethren calls us to do, a way that rises above hatred and division, a way of peace and unity, a way of grace and love that reflects the very love of Jesus Christ. The shared meal, a very embodiment of Jesus' own sacrifice, is the essence of who we are as Christ followers. So I'm going to invite you here as we come to a close of this message. I'm going to invite you, when a time of song, to come up and to take a piece of bread and to break that bread and to eat it. Then after you do that, to take a cup and to drink. That is a symbol that Christ's body has been broken for you, and you're taking that in you, that Christ's blood was spilled for you, and that you're drinking to take that within you. So as you come to receive the Lord's Supper this morning, sharing the common meal throughout this world, with Christians around the world, come to experience God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's love, and allow that grace to wipe away the feelings of otherness and division. And then let that grace mold you and shape you and unite you and unite all of us as one in the body of Christ. Before you come to take of this bread and this cup, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? Have you received Him in that grace and forgiveness? The gospel story today that we read together is a clue where you need to look for Jesus Christ. The gospel story is this. You remember the story, don't you? That you find that After Jesus had been crucified and he was laid in the tomb, we find that there were two followers of Jesus were walking along the road one day near the village of Emmaus. And these guys were all depressed, and their heads were down, and they were walking along, and they were dejected. And the stranger came up, and he's walking along with them, and he's asking, "Why are you feeling so bad?" And they said, "Well, you must be the only person here in this area that doesn't know what has happened. Don't you know about Jesus, the Nazarene? He was crucified. He was going to deliver us. He was going to be the one that we could follow and find our way before God. He was the Messiah. He was the promise. But he's gone. And now he's dead. It's over. The movement, the hope, it's all gone." And this stranger said, "Oh, you sound so foolish." And it says that at that time, this stranger took the scroll or took the scripture, and he began to teach them. He said, didn't you know that this one that was crucified, the Messiah, it's told by Moses, it's told in the prophets, it's told in the scripture that this one that was come, he would die. He would be crucified. But that is not the end of the story. Because by the power of God and by the Spirit of God, he would raise him from the dead. And the scripture says that those men began to feel a warm, amazing light burst within their soul, and they began to see how amazing what this stranger was teaching them. And so when they finally got to Emmaus, they said, come in, and it's so late now, let's eat together. And so as they were there, they say this stranger, he took the bread and he took the wine and he broke the bread. And while he was doing that, they recognized this was Jesus. He was not dead. It was not over. But what was so amazing about that, they said, wasn't there something going on in our hearts and our souls when we saw him pray to God about the bread and then break it? It was in the breaking of the bread and it was in the wine that we saw Jesus. We were dejected and looking for him and didn't know where to find him. But when we looked in the breaking of bread, we saw Jesus. And if you're looking for Jesus this morning, somewhere in your mind, inside, outside, in this church, in the song, if you look for the wrong place, you won't find him. But if you look at the right place, you will. And that's going to be in the broken bread and in the spilled blood of Jesus Christ. We look for Jesus. World Communion celebration began last night. While you were sleeping, while I was sleeping, World Communion Sunday started in Asia. Churches in China met in secret so they would not be arrested. Christians in the Middle East met under the watchful eye of the government as they celebrated the Eucharist. In Europe, Christians gathered in churches that used to be full but are not full anymore to celebrate the Lord's Supper. In Africa, the sacraments were celebrated in great numbers by a growing number of Christians because the explosion of the people in Africa who are receiving the gift of life through Jesus Christ is phenomenal. Many of those there in Africa bear scars of persecution as they commune together, because when they say they believe in Jesus Christ, they're tortured and persecuted. Those celebrating today here include Church of the Brethren and Presbyterians and Methodists and Catholics and Lutherans and Pentecostals and Baptists and thousands of other denominations, and even those are celebrating without denomination. Christ followers meet both in public and in secret. Some meet in freedom while others gather under threat of persecution and death. World Communion Sunday has already been going on for many, many hours and continues here today. Some take the sacrament today with music and singing, and still others take it in quiet so they will not be arrested. In wealthy churches and in desperate poverty, the sacrament is observed. In churches, in homes, in huts, and in God's creation, the seal of the covenant with experience. The bread is given to people that could not. Some people are eating the bread that they could overeat all day long because they have plenty to eat. But there are people who also are having communion today that have no idea what they're going to eat today or have no idea of where they're going to get something to eat in remembrance of their communion. Communion was given in many different languages by ordained clergy, by volunteer pastors. Something like these words of institution were given. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And he blessed it. And he gave thanks. And he said to his disciples, "This is my body. It was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup. And in the same way, after supper, he gave it to the disciples. And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Drink it, all of you, in remembrance of me." The bread today will be different kinds of bread all over the world. It'll be different colors. It'll be some made of wheat, some made of rice, some of some kind of grain. And some of the bread will be left over in places that are taking communion. Other places, it'll be just enough to have a little bite, a little piece for each person who is wanting to have the bread. But everyone who takes of the bread today in communion, still, it represents the body of Christ, the broken body of Christ, the sustained body of Christ around the world. Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is what I did for you. I broke my body. I died that you might have life." The juice around the world will be different. For many, it will be wine. For some, it will be juice. For some, we'll celebrate with water because they don't have juice or wine. Some will have to carry it for many miles from a dirty well, and their juice will be dirty water. Some will have individual cups like these. Some will have fancy goblets or glasses. Some others will take one glass and pass it around, and each will take for whatever they have in the cup in the home where they are gathering. But still, it represents the blood that was shed for you and me. Would you pray with me? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for this sacrament of communion shared with Christians all around the world. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these elements and on those who partake, that we may be your body and the representation of your covenant in our lives and throughout the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you come to take of the bread and the cup, take you a piece of bread, and as you stand before the altar, break the bread. The little piece that is here. Break the bread. And as you do that, remember that that is a symbol that Christ's body was broken for you. And eat it. And then take a cup. And as you drink it, remember that this is the blood of Christ that was shed for you. And then drink it. And as you do that, then go back to your seat. So I'm asking you to come whenever you feel led, or if you feel led, take a piece of bread, breaking it, drinking, and go back to your seat as we continue together in song. May God bless you, bless us, bless the world as we partake in his broken body and spilled blood. You can have this world, all in this world, but give me Jesus. I pray that's what you will go from this place, is that as you come together to take communion, that it is then, that's where we find Jesus, in his broken body, in the spilled blood, in the symbols of communion. May you go from this place with God going with you, and may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you may know we all are of one family in Jesus Christ. Go in peace, and he will go with you.